Mary had a little lamb,
The fault. We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From Radio Beacon to Radio Beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe it.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey. It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
I want to talk about Brett Kavanaugh's love slash love relationship with alcohol. He loves it. He loves it. Now, the FBI, as you know, was forbidden from investigating Brett Kavanaugh's past drinking. Now, fair enough. I would like to investigate his present drinking. I think it's fair. Because you know what? You would do that if he was applying for a job at Staples, for example. You would. Now, Brett Kavanaugh said that the way he can tell he's had too much to drink is he checks the blood alcohol chart. You know that chart that we're always checking as non-alcoholics. But he checks that chart. I think he carries it around with his pocket constitution. Uh-oh. You know, I have a slightly different method for determining if someone has had too much to drink. I check to see if they yell at the top of their lungs. And then if they suddenly start sobbing uncontrollably. I gotta tell you, that would not go over well at Staples. They'd be like, Brett, why are you crying in the calendar aisle?
Andy Borowitz, everybody, Andy Borowitz. I hope everybody gets the Borowitz Report. It's hysterical. Every day he writes, you know, crap. Every day he makes crap up and he writes it. It's the best. Satire is what it is. And it's just unbelievable. And last night, I don't know, did you see? We had a public relations swearing-in ceremony for Brett at the White House. That included a band and a cocktail reception. I mean, if you're being, you know, looked at as being probably an alcoholic, I would think that, you know, Trump especially would skip the cocktail reception. You know, I just, did he have beer? I don't know. I hope they kept any upstairs bedrooms, you know, off limits in case Brett had one too many. I just, I don't know. It was weird. It was very weird. Here you have the President of the United States. The nomination fight is over. And, you know, you would think it would be time for the President of the United States, you know, to, I don't know, take up the issue of the nation's wounds and not rub salt into them, which is what he did last night. I mean, I don't even understand. And, you know, here's the thing, the news today, Nikki Haley. I just don't think anybody gives a rat's ass about this, but I'll just say it because it's news and everybody's like, you know, breathlessly covering it. She was our UN ambassador. She will continue to be our UN ambassador till the end of the year. And apparently she has tendered her resignation. So, I mean, everybody's like trying to figure out why did she leave and what is going on? And she's the adult in the room and how sad this is. And oh, my God, maybe she's running in 2020. Well, this morning she said she's not running. She's ruling out the 2020. So she said she'll campaign for Trump. And they had this joint little meeting today at the White House where she decided to use her time to talk about Ivanka.
I want to thank the family in general. The First Lady has been nothing but very, very kind to me. I can't say enough good things about Jared and Ivanka. Jared is such a hidden genius that no one understands.
Oh,
I mean, to redo the NAFTA deal the way he did.
Oh, he did.
What I've done working with him on the Middle East peace plan, it is so unbelievably well done. And Ivanka's been just a great friend. And they do a lot of things behind the scenes that I wish more people knew about, because we're a better country because they're in this administration.
We're a better country. I thought Jared was trying to get millions of dollars from some bank to bail him out because he's got a big debt, you know, coming up. And that Ivanka was somewhere selling, you know, block-heeled shoes. I didn't know that they were genius. But that's what she said. Here it is, Nikki Haley, probably, the most credible female candidate for the GOP. And then she says this. So that's over. So much for that, because that'll be played on an endless loop. I mean, you know, female candidates in the GOP, they're almost as rare as, female voters in the GOP these days because they nominated a rapist. You know, I just, but this is the news. This is what's taking up our time today. That and the fact that the president went out of his way last night to be ultra cruel to women. This is who he's attacking now. He's attacking women. I don't know why we're 50% of the population. Why would he want to do this? But he is doing it, and it's kind of strange. It's kind of weird. He's calling women, the people who protested the most about the Brett were suburban women. They were women who either were victims of sexual assault, sexual harassment, or women who knew somebody who was a victim of sexual assault or sexual harassment. They typically lived in suburbia. A lot of them were working women. A lot of them were housewives. A lot of them were, it was just like women. Why would he? And now they've taken, because they're the paranoid party, they've taken to calling women, women. An angry mob. This is like the new thing, right? The grievance. They're all victims. Mitch McConnell is a victim. Chuck Grassley is a victim. Everyone in the GOP is being victimized by women.
The radical Democrats have turned into an angry mob.
We refuse to be intimidated by the a mob of people.
No to mob rule.
It's unthinkable.
Women.
I don't have the courage.
You don't hand matches to an arsonist, and you don't give power to an angry left-wing mob, and that's what they've become.
But this is the first confirmation hearing for a Supreme Court justice I've seen, basically, according to mob rule.
What we have learned is the resistance that has existed since the day after the November 16, 2016 election is centered right here on Capitol Hill. They have encouraged mob rule.
The tactics that have been employed both by Judiciary Committee, Democratic senators, and by the virtual mob that's assaulted all of us in the course of this process.
Oh, you were assaulted.
Has turned our base on fire.
My members dealing with, we've been under assault, Laura.
Assault.
Our homes have been, they've come to our homes.
Yours was today, this morning.
Yeah, but not just me, everybody. I mean, they've been after all of us. We've sort of been under assault. And everybody decided to stand up to the mob.
We were literally under assault.
Assault.
These demonstrators, I'm sure some of them were well-meaning citizens, but many of them were obviously trained to get in our faces, to go to our homes up there, to basically almost attack us in the halls of the Capitol. So there was a full-scale effort to intimidate as well. What I think this has done for us is provide the kind of adrenaline shot that we had not been able to figure out how to achieve in any other ways. We think there's some evidence, Lawrence, that this is going to be very helpful to us next month.
Mitch McConnell was assaulted. You see, it's that Mitch McConnell was the victim of the assault, not the women who were assaulted. No, it was Mitch McConnell. He's been assaulted. Our homes have been visited. What? Christine Blasey Ford cannot go home. She can't go home. She is facing endless death threats. Endless.
I will say, this has been terrifying. Her family has been through a lot. They are not living at home. It's going to be quite some time before they're able to live at home. The threats have been unending.
Oh my God.
It's deplorable. It's been very frightening. And she's also received extraordinary letters of support and encouragement. But these threats are extremely distressing.
So Mitch McConnell and Chuck Grassley, they've been assaulted. They've been attacked. But Christine Blasey Ford, they agree, you know, she was attacked. But she's wrong about who attacked her, right? So, I mean, I don't even understand it. Why are they attacking suburban women? Why are they going after young American girls who are focused on issues that are important to them? Why? I mean, the young voters are very interested in things like science and gun safety. And women are very interested in protecting younger women from having to go through what we had to go through as older women. I mean, you know, is there some benefit to telling some little old lady in Des Moines that, you know, some angry mob is going to come with torches, tiki torches? Because if she's worried about that, look no further than Trump supporters. I mean, these are some of the angriest, nastiest, most vicious people. I mean, they get in your face on the street.
You're looking at fucking me. Are you threatening me? Came up here and fucking threatened women. Get the fuck out of here. Hey, you're the only bitch that came up and started talking shit, dude. We didn't come up to you, did we? We didn't come up to you.
You did. And I know you ain't gonna back your shit up, so don't get one of your boys fucked up because you started shit. If you're not gonna fight, if you want gender equality, everybody can have gender equality.
Get the fuck on.
Please give me a fucking break. You're a fucking chick, dude. You're gonna have one of your boys fucking protect you. So, if you fucking threaten me, I'm gonna take on one of these guys. You understand? So don't get your boys fucked up.
Dude, nobody threatened you. Nobody fucking threatened you. You come over here.
Have a good fucking day.
Have a good day, asshole.
Bye. I am an asshole.
Yeah, they're nice people. They just sucker punch anybody that they feel like it with their flashy hair doozies, and they get in people's faces. The little ponytail man with the leather jackets, they go after the women. And he actually said to her, "You're an effing chick, dude." Why, the wisdom that comes out of the Trump supporters. I mean, I don't know why they're doing this, but, you know, we all remember the Tea Party Express. We all remember the Tea Party Patriots. We all remember Charlottesville. We all remember the dissension. You know, everybody ran to the town halls. They attacked Democrats over Obamacare and the witch doctor and it's, you know, communism. And are you a freaking commie and all this? And now all of a sudden you got the Trump. Don't they ever get tired of accusing us for doing the crap that they do? I mean, doesn't it? Are they immune to irony? Are they immune to satire? I mean, you don't give an arsonist a match, and you don't give an angry mob the vote, and you don't tug on Superman's cape, and you don't spit into the wind.
All things Randy at randyrhodes.com.
Go for launch.
Speaking truth to power, the Randy Rhodes Show.
On behalf of our nation, I want to apologize.
Oh, my God.
To Brett and the entire Kavanaugh family for the terrible pain and suffering you have been forced to endure. Those who step forward to serve our country deserve a fair and dignified evaluation, not a campaign of political and personal destruction based on lies and deception. What happened to the Kavanaugh family violates every notion of fairness, decency, and due process. Our country, a man or a woman, must always be presumed innocent unless and until proven guilty.
This was not a trial.
And with that, I must state that you, sir, under historic scrutiny, were proven innocent. Thank you.
Well, innocent enough for Susan Collins, you know. as we've learned, that's not a high bar. He was not proven innocent. He was not proven guilty. He was not proven innocent. This was not a trial. This was a confirmation hearing to ascend to a higher court from the court he's already sitting on. And by the way, the court he's already sitting on has referred a dozen complaints to the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court about him. I don't think they'll ever see the light of day. Judge Roberts will sit upon them and he will squirrel them away in whatever dank dark hole he has underneath that robe is. But that has happened. The D.C. Circuit Court has sent over. Now, Merrick Garland, who's the Chief Justice of that court, actually recused himself from listening to the complaints about Brett Kavanaugh. And so an associate justice, a woman, had to send it to the U.S. Supreme Court. Dozens and dozens of complaints, and they had nothing to do with Christine Blasey Ford or with Deborah Ramirez or with Julie Swetnick. Oh, no. It had to do with his lying under oath. This man lied about everything. It had to do with him, squirreling away his documents from the Bush administration. It had to do with him lying about the torture program that he was involved in and saying he wasn't. It had to do with the stolen emails that he said he didn't receive, which we now have evidence that he did. It had to do with the fact that he was part of the warrantless wiretapping. He said he didn't do anything significant on the nomination and confirmation of Justice Pryor. He was the head of the working group. I mean, he lied. He lied. And the president, this numbnuts president that we have, who never apologizes for anything, apologizes to a guy who lied under oath repeatedly and a sexual abuser in the name of the rest of us, and then called the women an angry mob. Really? This is hysterical. I mean, the one time in his life that Donald Trump actually apologizes, and he apologizes for other people, and he apologizes to the last person on earth who should be apologized to. The man freaking lied over and over and over again. I mean, it's just Gerald Nadler, who, by the way, when we take back the House, which we will, by the way, today is the last day to register to vote in many, many states. Go check my Twitter feed at Randy Rhodes, and you will see a whole list of states where today is the last day. In fact, Tennessee today is the last day. Florida today is the last day. Taylor Swift is trying to remind her, Tennesseans. That they really do need to get out the vote. And then all of a sudden she got into the fray there, and they saw a very, very large uptick in people registering to vote there in Tennessee. So that's kind of fascinating. This is just so sick. I mean, you have so many people coming forward to show you how often and how regularly this man lied under oath. So, I don't know why he apologized in my name. Please, take my name out. Take my name out and take our Brett out, because our Brett did not want to apologize to your Brett. And our Scotty didn't want to. And, my whole audience there, we don't want to apologize. I mean, it's just, and this, you, sir, under historic scrutiny, were proven innocent. I mean, is he being as cruel as possible because he works very hard at it? Or is it just that he always manages to stumble into the absolute wrong words? I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. But the problem with our mob is that we're not storming the castle. We're not storming, the White House. We will be descending on voting booths. And instead of pitchforks, we will be carrying ballots. See? And that is their problem. And he knows it. And he knows it. The House is going down. The Senate, all we need is two. That's all we need is two. But we're defending a lot. That's the thing. And, for all the stuff that Mitch McConnell, said about and Kavanaugh thanked Joe Manchin and all the Republicans last night, Mitch McConnell still says Manchin's going down. So I just want to know what loyalty to that party as a Democrat got you, Joe Manchin. I just want to know. What did you get? I'm not sure what you got, but whatever you got, I hope it was good. I hope it was really good. But this is just crazy. And then last night, Kavanaugh tried to, cast himself as some kind of serious jurist, But that is completely denigrated by the fact that he was introduced by President Troll Clown, by Twitler. Twitler introduced him. I mean, how could you even accept anything from this guy? It's just so sad and sick. Here's Gerald Nadler trying to telegraph to us what he will do when he becomes chairman of the Judiciary Committee. This is going to be great. You remember Adam Schiff will become the chairman of the Intelligence Committee. Oh, my God. Because I don't know if you, during the Kavanaugh hearing, one of the greatest things ever released were the transcripts of the Senate staff vetting, and we put that in quotes, extreme vetting. You know what their version of extreme vetting sounded like? Mr. Kavanaugh, we have a complaint, against you from a woman who says that, when you were at Yale, you were stumbling drunk and you probably don't remember any. That's just a joke. All right. Thank you. And we also have a complaint from a woman who said that you exposed your penis to her at a party and there are witnesses. Well, that's just ridiculous. All right. That's good. And we also have that's the vetting. They asked him a question. He'd say it was a joke. He'd put them on hold. I mean, to read these transcripts is just, it's a scream. It's hysterical. They would ask him all these questions about, but there are 10 witnesses, sir. Well, I deny. All right, good. You've been vetted. Thank you for your time today. And this is what they did with Roger Stone. And Roger Stone, did you communicate with WikiLeaks? He said no. They go, okay, thank you. You can go. Now, can you imagine Adam Schiff with subpoena power? Oh, my God. Can you imagine Gerald Nadler as the House Judiciary Committee chair? I want you to imagine.
Congressman, I want to pick up on what Congresswoman Pelosi was saying right there. A lot of Democrats have said that they don't believe that Brett Kavanaugh told the truth when he went before the Judiciary Committee. Mm-hmm. If it turns out that he does become Justice Kavanaugh and your chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, would you investigate him for possible impeachment?
Well, I would hope the Senate would have done its job first. I would hope the Senate the FBI has a free hand over the next week to investigate, and that certainly means to call in all the relevant witnesses. It certainly means...
Doesn't sound like they do.
Well, if they don't, that's a real problem. It would call into validity the entire Senate process. I would hope that Senator Flake and others would not vote, would make clear that their votes will not be for the nominee unless they have there is a free hand for a proper investigation of these very serious allegations of sexual assaults. We cannot have a justice on the Supreme Court for the next several decades who will be deciding questions of liberty and life and death and all kinds of things for the entire American people, who has been credibly accused of sexual assaults, who has been credibly accused of various other wrong things, including perjury. This has got to be thoroughly investigated. I hope the Senate will do so. If he is on the Supreme Court and the Senate hasn't investigated, then the House will have to.
You'll investigate.
We would have to investigate any credible allegations, certainly of perjury and other things that haven't been properly looked into before.
Can't wait. I can't. I would love to talk to, they never interviewed Brett Kavanaugh, the FBI. They never interviewed Christine Blasey Ford, the FBI. You know, they didn't. Deborah Ramirez gave them a list of 10 witnesses. They didn't talk to any of them. Christine Blasey Ford gave them 8. They didn't talk. They talked to 3. And Brett Kavanaugh thanked them last night. I don't know if you caught this. This was really, really, really twisted. This man is so bizarre. I really don't get.
Tonight, I thank all my friends, so many amazing and fearless friends.
Friends.
From my high school days, college, law school.
Oh, my God.
Clerking, the Bush White House, including President George W. Bush.
He sat on the documents.
From the judiciary, teaching, coaching, playing sports. The vibrant, loyal, and tight-knit Catholic community here in the D.C. area.
Oh, I told you.
And so many others. Ashley and I are grateful for their prayers and for the prayers from the thousands and thousands of people we have heard from throughout America. When I give advice to young people or speak to students, I tell them, cherish your friends, look out for your friends, lift up your friends, love your friends. I love all my friends.
So no one told me life was going to be this way. Your job's a joke. You're broke. Your love life's DOA. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. It hasn't been your day, your month, or even your year. But I'll be there for you. Mark Judge. I'll be there for you, Squee. Because you were there for me, too. I mean, he brings up his friends from high school. I mean, it's like they were rubbing salt in the wound. It was so bizarre, this thing last night. It was so strange. You know, he talked about clerking and, you know, Kozinski, who had to step down from the bench for sexual harassment. And his guy. I mean, what a strange man. He is really, really strange. The tight-knit Catholic community. I'm telling you, that's what this is. JT in Atlanta.
Hey, Randy.
Hey.
Hey, let me say this, man. It's so funny when I hear people say, you just said how the Trump supporters are vicious and they're mean. And yeah, that may be true, but they're cowards, man. They're just like their hero. They are all friggin' cowards. Because they don't take none of that fight to anybody that can stand up to them.
That's
they
exactly
go after
right.
Old white women. They go after young women.
Yeah.
They go after old guys. They don't bring that shit to the hood. I'm in zone 6 ATL, baby. 6'2", 230 pounds. I can hit 25 reps of 225 when I wake up in the morning.
No way.
I ain't never had a Trump supporter say no out-of-the-way shit to me. Ever. And I beg for it. Please. Bring
oh,
it.
Wow.
How come Trump never goes to Avenatti?
No, it is interesting. I mean, here's this big-ass biker ponytail dude talking to this girl, and he says, you're a chick, dude. You're an effing chick, dude. So what I'll do is I'll beat up your friends. I couldn't even believe that. But this is who they are. They're just bullies, and bullies are cowards. You know that. Bullies make empty threats.
They're all a bunch of cowards.
They're all a bunch of cowards. They're terrified. That's why this—
I guarantee you,
but that's
Trump
why—
has never been in a fight a day in his life.
No, you're right. And that's why they're calling, women the angry mob. That's why they're doing it. They're trying to, you know, their base is terrified. They're terrified of, opposition. They're terrified of people that, believe in freedom of assembly. They're terrified of people that read books. They hate college educated. They hate black. They hate Hispanic. You know, I mean, he feeds them a steady diet of who to be afraid of. MS-13, right? Be afraid. I mean, like, where the hell is MS-13 anyway? I just, you know, I don't even—
yeah, nobody's ever heard of him until Trump got in office.
I'm
one more thing
you.
That bugs me about Trump. Does he know the meaning of what a freaking hoax is?
Oh, yeah, that was—
he misuses that word every fucking day. He doesn't know what a hoax is.
Yeah, well, I keep trying to wake up thinking that this whole last 2 years has been a hoax. It's all been a badass dream, you know? So, but thank you. I appreciate you, JT. Thank you for calling us.
All right, babe.
Thank you. Yeah. Jennifer in Sacramento.
Hi, Randy.
Hi.
You know, I've been thinking about this whole insurgence or surge of Republican support coming, and they're calling it the big backlash to the Me Too movement. And what I actually think that is Trump has empowered all those men who in their past have done some form of rapey kind of thing, or
they are rather
assault.
Rapey. I mean, you know, Rob Porter, he beat his wife.
Exactly.
And I mean, you know, you have like all these rapey guys. You have Donald Trump himself being accused of rape by his first wife. You have Donald Trump being accused by 20 women who say that he inappropriately, grabbed them by the P word. He admits that he did it. I mean, I don't get this. I don't get why, any woman would, say that they could vote for him. I don't get it.
Well, you know, and the other thing, so what I was thinking is, you know, there's this Me Too movement, and for Trump, they are the I Did movement. Because they did that. They did that to women. And Trump is saying, it's okay that you did it. We're clearing your conscience. We're powering it through. And you know the other thing, too, is I look at Kavanaugh's wife. She's a freaking stepford wife.
You know what his wife is? His wife is totally political. His wife was, she worked for W. She was W's secretary. She worked in the White House. Yes. She went to UT. She's also one of these, you know, devout believers. And she knows where all the bodies are buried. She's,
oh, sure she does.
Oh, no, she does. And she just sits there and quietly, you know, acts submissive to her husband, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But no, she knows everything. This woman was in the White House the whole time W was torturing people, the whole time he was warrantlessly wired. She knows everything. She just, you know... So, yeah, she's just she's part of the clan, you know what I mean? She's part of them. She's not she's not Stepfordy at all. She totally gets what she needs to do, and that's, you know, just sit there and nod and look, you know, all aggrieved.
Yes, and just like my husband is an angel.
they all are angels. They're married to us. You got to see the good. You got to see the good in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm choking on those words. Yeah, no. So, but Lindsey Graham, I just want you to know, Lindsey Graham actually said this. This is so sick. He said, quote, Brett Kavanaugh is the slut whore drunk of the story. What? So in Lindsey Graham's mind, somebody had to be a slut whore drunk. And the slut whore drunk is Brett Kavanaugh. What? Wow.
Call in, connect. To speak to Randy, call 561-270-3844. 561-270-3844.
There is only one party that has normalized violence in America in the last 2 years, and it's not the Republicans. Let's remember, James Hodgkinson did not wear a MAGA hat when he went to that baseball field in Arlington. He was a Bernie Sanders supporter, went there with an automatic rifle and a pistol with a hit list of what? Republican congressmen, and he almost killed one of them, Steve Scalise. You look at the violence of Antifa, they go prepared for battle to those demonstrations. The right doesn't do that. You're normalizing something that is un-American.
Oh, wow. I love their little, you know, innocence on the Alternative Universe channel there, Fox News, a viral movement away from what it really truly does to the news. Sebastian Gorka, the guy who actually shouts down and intimidates reporters and gets in their face, and some guy who works for a mediaite, he decided to get in his face. And the guy was, you know, not as tall as Sebastian Gorka. He wasn't as, you know, big as and he just stood up and, stayed in it. And Sebastian Gorka just, you know, walked away. Just walked away all exasperated because this guy stood up for himself. Watch this. Takes a shot at him.
There are problems when you actually control the White House. I'd be mad if Barack Obama was in the White House.
Gets in the guy's face. Stands over him, gets like right in his face. And the guy is like, okay, do it. You know, get in my face. I just you're a Hungarian Nazi, and I just don't care. Is what it is. I just don't care, okay? You're in the majority. You got all three branches of government, dude. What is your freaking problem? Why are you always so aggrieved? I mean, they got it all. They got everything. They got a monopoly on every damn thing. And it's still not enough for them. It will never be enough until every single person works for minimum wage in a service industry job and pays their taxes so that they can take that money from you off your hands. This is it. This is all they it's all they care about, the redistribution of wealth. I mean, here we are fighting for women not to be assaulted, and they're sitting around saying, oh, Steve King. He says, I was in the supermarket. I was in the supermarket and someone came up to me. Oh, my God. Someone came up to you. Oh, my God. He said, and the swing voters are very turned off by people coming up to you. What, no head should be higher than yours, Steve? What's wrong with you? You work for us. Somebody comes up to you in a supermarket and you find that scary. A woman comes up to you and you find that intimidating. Mitch McConnell, he believes he was assaulted. He believes that the women who were really assaulted, who told him that they were really assaulted, somehow attacked him. Oh my God, no. You know how we humiliate you? We humiliate you with freaking facts.
In the history of partisanship on the Supreme Court, your decision to block Merrick Garland is something they see as having kicked off a new stage in the partisanship associated with Supreme Court nominees.
Yeah, they don't know much history. You have to go back to 1880 to find the last time a Senate controlled by a different party from the president confirmed a Supreme Court justice to a vacancy created in the middle of a presidential election.
Really?
They also conveniently forgotten that Joe Biden said in 1992, when he was chairman of the Judiciary Committee, the Democrats control the Senate, Republican in the White House, if a vacancy occurred, they wouldn't fill it. They also conveniently forgot that Chuck Schumer and Harry Reid, 18 months before the end of Bush 43, said if a Supreme Court vacancy occurred, they wouldn't fill it. But talk Mr. about Leader, hypocrisy.
Right. But, Mr. Leader, I don't think that's right. In 1956, Eisenhower nominated Brennan. The 84th Congress was Democrat-controlled. And also on the Biden rule, Joe Biden was talking in the abstract. There was no nominee. No nominee was blocked. And he said to not have the nomination come up before the election, but that it could come up after the election. And so what Democrats say when they hear you doing this is they say he's creating new rules to essentially do what he wants to do. And as you've written in your book, The Long Game, when you do that, it actually hurts democracy.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's not at all what happened, John. You're completely misconstruing what happened. What I gave you is the history of this. I know the history of this. I've spent a lot of time on this throughout my career. What I did was entirely consistent with what the history of the Senate's been in that situation going back to 1880.
Well, I think the 1956 example and also in 1968, later in the election cycle, when a Democratic president put somebody forward, the Republican leader worked with him to get that person a hearing and get him towards the Supreme Court, which is not something that you did. A vote at the time.
Then there was a Democrat in the White House and a Democratic Senate.
But the Republican leader at the time tried to help the Democratic president.
John, you are not listening to me. The history is exactly as I told you.
Well, we have a disagreement about the history, but I greatly appreciate you being with us here today.
You are not listening to what I told you. You are not listening to what I told you. What is he trying to hypnotize him? He's trying to hypnotize him. This droid is not the droid you're looking for. What? He's trying to do like some sort of a Jedi mind, trick? This is unbelievable. 1988, you don't even have to go back that far. 1988, Ronald Reagan was a Republican president, had a Democratic Senate, and he nominated in an election year a Supreme Court justice who the Democrats confirmed. You know who that was? Know who that was? That was Anthony Kennedy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pressure of a name. It's always pressure. All right, Reggie in Decatur.
Hey, happy Tuesday to you, Randy. Long time no hear from.
Oh, well, I don't call you.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, why is it that we have certain conservative women, female conservative women, like us, such as Susan Collins defending, and, of course, the usual prime suspects of talk radio and Fox News Channel, as you said, a bowel movement away from what it really does to news, or as opposed to what it really truly does to news, and the Fox bots on there defending this man, Brett Kavanaugh, so that he can have his confirmation as the next Senate judge fully secured. I mean, why are they defending people like or such as him and not standing up against them?
Don't make me argue their case, because I have no idea why they picked, you know, I mean, I know why Trump picked him. I know why Trump nominated him, because this guy believes in complete unfettered presidential power. He's the kind of guy that believes that the president can just simply say national security and can lock your ass up. That's what he believes.
Right. But they're defending guys like him. I mean, I'm talking about women.
Because
like
they love the idea of being able to lock up dissidents. They love the idea of autocracy. They love the idea of gerrymandered maps forever. They love the idea of not being able to vote in a meaningful way. They don't believe in one man, one vote. They believe in gerrymandered districts. They believe that 13% of the population ought to have the same representation. That, I mean, what do you got? You got 1.8 million people living in West Virginia. No offense, West Virginia. You know I'm on your side. But you got 1.8 million people living in West Virginia. In New York City alone, you got 9 million people. And we get the same representation, two senators? Really? How is that one man, one vote? They love this. They love this.
Right. So they want, all they want is one true universal dictatorial tyrannical rule.
Oh my God. Trump is, he's in love with autocrats. He said he fell in love with Kim Jong-un. He literally said he fell in love with him. You have Vladimir Putin inserting himself into this election. Now there's another story about how Paul Manafort and Rick Gates, who are now cooperating with Robert Mueller, went to the Israelis and asked the Israelis, a private defense contractor who, you know, hires former Israeli Mossad agents to give him proposals about how to pretend to be, you know, real people on social media and inundate the delegates at the convention because they weren't going to choose Donald Trump. So they went out and they started saying, we need to inundate them with social media. We need to target them. We need to have fake accounts. We need to have fake social media presence. We need to, I mean, honestly, they have never met a foreign government that they wouldn't work with that was uber right wing, that they wouldn't take, you know, their help in a presidential election. It's a sick, sick, sick administration, this administration. I mean, you look at everything that we were able to accomplish, you know, in the Obama years. People just, you know, don't remember. They don't remember that we did banking rules. They don't remember that we did, you know, student loan relief. They don't remember that we had comprehensive immigration reform, but that the Republicans wouldn't even put it on the floor in the House, right? Because he had Boehner back then, and he wouldn't even introduce it. You had, I mean, if they didn't block Merrick Garland, we would have a Democratic Supreme Court majority right now. I mean, these people are bizarre. They are so bizarre, and they keep ripping people's democracy away from them. Now they're against freedom of assembly because a bunch of women want to be heard. Mm-hmm. And so that's a bad thing. The press is a bad thing. Freedom of the press, that's got to go. You know, they're not interested in, you know, $15 minimum wage. They're interested in victimhood. They're interested in being a party of grievance. They got the House. They got the Senate. They got the presidency. And they can't come up with an infrastructure plan. They can't come up with, a minimum wage increase. They can't come up with justice reform. They can't get the corruption out of government. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Right. So what you're saying, in other words, Randy, is that these people want to dominate the whole entire world because nothing.
Because
is enough
all
for them.
They care about is redistributing the wealth of this country to them to themselves and their donors. That's it. That's all that matters is taking your money and giving it to them. Now, look, that's what Trump did. I mean, Trump inherited, we now know, $413 million. Some self-made man, huh? What a con man. What a P.T. Barnum. But we know that that's true now. And instead of paying 55% on the inheritance, he paid 5%, which means we got stiffed. And now he's got all these pass-through companies, and they legislate, so he will never have to pay taxes. But we do. Sick. It's a sick, sick system.
Right, and
it's rigged, for lack of a better word. The whole thing is rigged.
Right. So both Brett Kavanaugh and Donald J. Trump are but mere bullies, mere overgrown bullies with anger management and temperamental problems. Remember what he did to Dr. Ford, Brett Kavanaugh,
mm-hmm.
when she asked him about his drinking problem, you know, about his alcoholism, and he blew up. He exploded into her face.
Oh, you mean Amy Klobuchar?
Yeah, Amy Klobuchar. Yeah, he blew up in her face.
He did it to everybody. Anybody? Yeah. I mean, he lied to Sheldon Whitehouse. He challenged Amy Klobuchar about, do you have a drinking problem? You know, I mean, it was the sickest thing. Richard Blumenthal, he said the same. What do you like to drink, Senator? What do you like to drink?
Right.
I mean, this is a child. This is a man-child.
Mm-hmm. So it was Lindsey Graham who... With such as pearls saying that the Democrats tried to destroy this.
I can't believe he actually said Brett Kavanaugh. This is a quote. Brett Kavanaugh is the slut, whore, drunk of the story in this Supreme Court nomination. Mm-hmm. Asked whether sexual assault survivors would be more reluctant to come forward because Kavanaugh was confirmed despite allegations by Christine Blasey Ford, Graham said he didn't believe so because Ford was treated well. He said, He had prosecuted rape cases and defended people accused of sexual violence and sat as a judge. I don't know where he did all this. I guess as a JAG reservist. I don't know. But he said, I've tried to look at this thing through a process that stood the test of time. Some standards, some presumptions, some evidentiary requirements. There were no evidentiary. This was not a trial. I don't know what he said. But he goes, all I can say is that seldom do you advance justice by creating an injustice, and I think it would have been unjust for Judge Kavanaugh to have his life ruined based on the allegations. He dismissed claims against Kavanaugh as outrageous and making no sense. He said that in this story, Brett right. Kavanaugh is the slut whore drunk.
Right.
What? And why does anybody have to be a slut whore drunk?
I don't know. But and Brett Kavanaugh saying that this was nothing more than pure revenge from and by the Clinton, you know?
Oh, please.
That's what he said.
Yeah, you know why
that.
He said that? Because what? Brett Kavanaugh has the dirtiest mind of anybody you've ever come across, this little choir boy. He's the one that wrote some really sick and twisted questions when he worked with Ken Starr, who was prosecuting Bill Clinton, right, in the Paula Jones civil case. And Brett Kavanaugh, literally, wrote these questions that said things like, if Monica Lewinsky said that you jerked off into a trash can in front of her, would she be lying? This right. little choir boy had some very pornographic thoughts in his head about what the president and did you use, you know, implements to penetrate her? And if she said it was a cigar, would she be lying? I mean, he's the one that put all these stories out there. This little choir boy.
Right.
Now you know why. Because he's been twisted since high school.
Yeah, and they always keep bringing up the Democratic past.
Oh, please.
Yeah, every time their Republican sexual past comes up, they want to deflect and bring up Democratic past, like Bill Clinton or Chappaquiddick, of course.
Well, Bill Clinton was actually impeached, okay, right. Gotta say. And, you know, Al Franken actually resigned.
Right.
Because Susan Collins demanded that he resign.
Mm-hmm.
And here you have Donald Trump admitting that he can do anything he wants to women. He just starts kissing them. He pops Tic Tacs and then he can grab them by the P word. And she has no problem with that. But right. she does have a problem with Al Franken taking a joke picture. Oh, right. that he's got to resign. I mean, these people are great. And when we have Democrats that do these things, like we knew when we found out that what's his name from Detroit? The old man, you know, when we found out that he was playing grab ass, we made him resign.
Right.
I mean, we police our own, that's for sure. You got, you know, what's his name? Eric Schneiderman, in New York, a Democrat. We made him resign. Got a long list of people that we said, no, we don't tolerate this from you or anybody else. You got to go. And they went. But these people, oh, my God, they blame the women. They got it all, and it's still not enough. They have to blame housewives. They have to blame, you know, women who have been assaulted. This is a sick message. This is a twisted administration. The sexual assault survivors who really, you know, wanted to be heard and came to Capitol Hill, like the, you know, the girls that confronted Jeff Flake in the elevator, they weren't violent. They were almost in tears, but they actually asked him, you, sir, are going to put somebody that's assaulted a woman on the Supreme Court? What are you doing, sir?
The fault. We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From Radio Beacon to Radio Beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe it.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
Dear young people.
Don't vote.
Don't vote.
Everything's fine the way it is.
Trump. That was us.
He's our guy.
Tax cuts for the rich? Hell yeah. I'm rich as fuck.
Climate change? That's a you problem. I'll be dead soon.
Sure, school shootings are sad.
But I haven't been in a school for 50 years.
I can't keep track of which lives matter.
Sure you don't like it.
So, you'll like some meme on Instagram.
If the weather is nice, maybe you could go to one of those little marches.
You might even share this video on Facebook.
But you won't vote.
You young people never do.
But I do.
I do.
I do. Midterms, primaries.
Every single election.
We'll be there, but you won't.
Because we're a generation of doers.
Not whiners.
And we're doing great.
There you have it. The truth, everybody. The truth. And I got to tell you, some of these polls are just so freaking scary. I mean, there used to be this complaint with the Republicans that the economy was rigged against them. And now that they have President Trump, they say that the economy is totally fair. It's just so sick that where you sit is where you stand on these issues. It's just, it's a very sick thing. But here is a new survey that came out. Republicans believe that the United States economic system is fair. It's fair to most Americans. Democrats do not believe this. Democrats understand that there is a huge gap between the rich and everybody else. Everybody under 84% of Democrats understand that the economy is skewed toward the very, very powerful and wealthy, that they get the tax breaks, that they get, if you have income, that's money that you make off of money. It's taxed less than if you make money off of work. Taxed less. They prefer people to not work and make money off of their money. Obviously, you tax what you want less of. Well, they tax work. They tax work at a higher rate than they tax inheritance. Then they tax, capital gains, money making money. It's a very sick thing. But 57% of Republicans now say that it's very fair. The whole thing is very fair. They don't, when you ask them about, well, what about rising health care costs? What do you think about, real wage growth is falling behind? What about the economy failing to produce higher paying jobs? What do you think about the GOP making the deficit and the debt worse by redistributing all your wealth to them? They say it's fair. It's fair. If I only had a college degree, I'd probably. Are you insane? They're crazy. Really, they are. They're nuts. They're nuts. But the big question for Democrats is how much is this ridiculous system going to make you angry enough to get out and vote? Looks like the Rust Belt is catching on, I must say. It says that there is a big lack of enthusiasm for traditional Republicans among the blue-collar whites who surged to the polls for the president in 2016. They're very upset. The political director of the AFL-CIO said that their research shows that working white-class women have clearly soured on Trump, largely because he wants to destroy the Affordable Care Act. And they understand that their children need health care. They understand that Obama expanded the CHIP program and he didn't want to fund it. They understand that he's lying about the VA, that they haven't, funded anybody's ability to go to a private doctor. They have a sense that the economy is still rigged, that it's costing them more to live, that the health care premiums are rising because he stopped the premium payments that the government used to make for the risk corridors. The risk corridor payments for the more expensive patients, they cut that off. And so the insurance companies have to pass the cost increase on to you. So it's just so interesting. It's just so interesting that the GOP, just whatever Trump says, they just trust him. They just believe him. And here is this guy who denigrates freedom of the press and says that the press is the enemy of the people, who denigrates now freedom of assembly, who says that women who were victims of sexual assault or abuse, or women who know somebody that was the victim of sexual assault and abuse, who just wanted to be heard before they confirmed a guy who was accused of sexually assaulting three different women, he doesn't believe in freedom of assembly anymore, that they're some sort of an angry mob. The executive branch under Trump has become corrupt in every sense of the word. I mean, everywhere you look, You have the president for the first time not releasing his tax returns. You have no transparency into whether or not he's using his office to make more money. The vice president and all senior officials don't have to produce, any documents of relevance. You've got, no tax returns released. You got conflicts of interest. You have holdings in private and public companies. You've got people that were, found guilty of doing insider trading. You got people that are using their campaign funds to, pay for their lavish lifestyles. You have people taking private jets everywhere. You got nepotism. You got the UN ambassador saying we're so lucky to have the president's children, who are answerable to absolutely nobody, using their public office to benefit their private interests. You got foreign interference, whether it's unregistered lobbyists, which we know happened, or actual election meddling that we know happened, because now we know that at least they went to Rick Gates and Paul Manafort, who are now cooperating with Mueller. There's now reporting they're cooperating. That they produced three proposals that they solicited and got from an Israeli intelligence private defense contractor in order to create false personas on social media and, get to the delegates at the convention so that Ted Cruz would not be the nominee.
We know social media played a major role in Russia's efforts to influence the outcome of the 2016 election. But we're now learning the Trump campaign considered using social media very similarly to its benefit. The New York Times reports that Rick Gates, deputy chairman of the Trump campaign, requested proposals from an Israeli company to use social media manipulation and intelligence gathering to help defeat Trump's Republican primary opponents and Hillary Clinton. The Times reports the proposals appear to be unrelated to the Russian effort, and there's no evidence that either Gates or the Trump campaign ever acted on them. Remember, though, earlier this year, Gates pleaded guilty to conspiracy and lying to the FBI and is now cooperating with special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation.
Yes, Rick Gates is cooperating, and so is Paul Manafort. So here is the New York Times story that was written by Mark Mazzetti, Ronan Bergman. That's important because we're going to play you a clip from Ronan Bergman explaining this story to you. David Kirkpatrick and Maggie Haberman. Okay, this is a powerhouse of investigative journalism, and it goes like this. A Trump campaign official, it's Rick Gates, they'll name him later in the article, but a top Trump campaign official requested proposals in 2016 from an Israeli company to create fake online identities, to use social media manipulation, to gather intelligence to help defeat Republican primary race opponents and Hillary Clinton, according to interviews and copies of the proposals. Copies they got. And this was running in tandem with the Russians doing exactly that. So, I mean, what, they just thought of this themselves? Or did they see what the Russians were doing and say, let's do this for the convention? Because that's what these proposals were addressing. One proposal to use bogus personas to target and sway 5,000 delegates to the 2016 Republican National Convention by attacking Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. Trump's main opponent at the time was Senator Ted Cruz. Another proposal describes opposition research and, quote, complementary intelligence activities about Mrs. Clinton and people close to her. And a third proposal, which is, that was put forward, the name of the company is called Psy Group. You may recall Black Cube. We discussed Black Cube, which is another one of these defense contracting companies in Israel. They did some stuff on Harvey Weinstein. Remember, they got into, a whole bunch of things with Harvey Weinstein. But this is Psy Group, and they're staffed by also former Israeli intelligence operatives. And they sketched out this months-long plan, plural, to help Mr. Trump by using social media to help expose or amplify divisions among rival campaigns and factions. The proposals, part of what Psy Group called Project Rome, used code names to identify the players. Mr. Trump was Lion. Mrs. Clinton was Forest. Mr. Cruz was Bear. This is sick. In Investigators working for Robert S. Mueller III, the special counsel investigating Russia's campaign to disrupt 2016's election, and whether any Trump associates conspired, have obtained copies of the proposals and questioned Citigroup employees, according to people familiar with those interviews. The scope of the social media campaigns, essentially a broad effort to sow disinformation among Republican delegates and general election voters, was more extensive than the work typically done by campaign operatives to spread the campaign's the candidate's message on digital platforms. The proposal to gather information about Mrs. Clinton and her aides has elements of traditional opposition research, but it also contained cryptic language that suggested using clandestine means to build intelligence dossiers. So, as I mentioned, one of the reporters is Ronan Bergman. He will explain the goal.
What was the goal of this effort?
We have to put this in a timeline. This was March and April of 2016, and the Trump people were concerned that the Republican Party is not going to vote for Trump, even if he is should be elected. They wanted to look for people, to look for companies, to look for someone who can make sure that the 5,000 delegates are influenced to vote for Trump and against Ted Cruz. This is one of the reasons that Rick Gates was brought to the campaign in the first place. And he is in contact with a person by the name of George Birnbaum,
right,
who was a kingpin in the success of Benjamin Netanyahu to win the elections in 1996, and heavily connected with former and current Israeli officials. And in a meeting in a hotel in D.C. that time, they discussed the possibility of hiring an Israeli intelligence company staffed with former Israeli intelligence operative, highly trained with the manipulation of the social media, called Citigroup, in order to deploy a fleet, an army of bot and avatar fictitious identities, army of these bots, in order to influence, first, locate and trace down 5,000 delegates, collect intelligence, assembling an intelligence dossier about these people, and then try to connect them and feed them with pro-Trump, anti-Cruz messages that would probably also be followed up by phone conversation and other channels of communication.
So the whole, MAGA group, or at least a very large percentage of them, are faux personas. They're bots. They're fake. This thing, you know, where Trump tweets something and then it gets, 5 billion, retweets and stuff. It's just, it's not real people. It's not real people. And this George Birnbaum, he's a Republican consultant and he's got very, very close ties to current and former Israeli government officials. He was responsible for getting right-wing Benjamin Netanyahu elected by using these fake personas online to target, Israeli voters. And then he brought it to America. He said that Gates was interested during that meeting in using social media influence and manipulation as a campaign tool to sway Republican delegates toward Mr. Trump.
The Randy Rhodes Show is live on RandyRhodes.com and the free Progressive Voices app for Android and iOS. Visit the App Store or ProgressiveVoices.com now.
Is any of this illegal, hiring a foreign firm to try to influence the outcome of a U.S. election in this way, if that action is taken by the Americans who are running the campaign?
Well, the company, Citigroup, was concerned that it's not legal. They asked a prestigious American law firm to advise them. That law firm came back and said, there is probability that some of the things that you're considering to do are not legal. For example, if the people actually deploying these fictitious identities, these bots, are not Americans, if the people making the phone calls are not Americans, if the people trying to influence the delegates are not Americans, that could be illegal. The second proposal was about collecting intelligence about Hillary Clinton, codenamed Forrest in these documents, and 10 of her associates. This is also could be illegal. And a third proposal was about influencing the general elections, a proposal that was re-edited and brought up in a conversation where the owner of that company, Joel Zemel, the owner of Cygroup, met with the son of Donald Trump at the Trump Tower presented Cygroup how Cygroup could help the effort of Donald Trump to win the elections.
All this stuff is going on at the Trump Tower with Junior. Beavis and Butthead are literally, allowing for foreign governments to create social media fake personas to influence Trump voters. It's just so sick. But this would explain a lot. I mean, Ted Cruz, okay? So Trump was, attacking Ted Cruz throughout this whole stinking campaign, calling his wife ugly. And, trading insults on, lying Ted and all. It's just so sick that this is exactly, what Gates and Manafort were up to.
Your running mate, Governor Pence, pledged on Sunday that he and you, his words, will absolutely accept
the
result
of
this election. Today, your daughter Ivanka said the same thing. I want to ask you here on the stage tonight, do you make the same commitment that you will absolutely, sir, that you will absolutely accept the result of this election?
I will look at it at the time. I'm not looking at anything now. I'll look at it at the time. What I've seen is so bad. First of all, the media is so dishonest corrupt.
And the pile-on
is so amazing. The New York Times actually wrote an article about it that they don't even care. It's so dishonest, and they've poisoned the minds of the voters. But unfortunately for them, I think the voters are seeing through it.
There is a tradition in this country, in fact, one of the prides of this country, is the peaceful transition of power, and that no matter how hard fought a campaign is, that at the end of the campaign, that the loser concedes to the winner. Not saying that you're necessarily going to be the loser or the winner, but that the loser concedes to the winner, and that the country comes together in part for the good of the country. Are you saying you're not prepared now to commit to that principle?
What I'm saying is that I will tell you at the time. I'll keep you in suspense.
Well,
okay?
Chris, let me respond to that, because that's horrifying. You know, every time Donald thinks things are not going in his direction, he claims whatever it is rigged against him. The FBI conducted a year-long investigation into my emails. They concluded there was no case. He said the FBI was rigged. He lost the Iowa caucus. He lost the Wisconsin primary. He said the Republican primary was rigged against him. Then Trump University gets sued for fraud and racketeering. He claims the court system and the federal judge is rigged against him. There was even a time when he didn't get an Emmy for his TV program 3 years in a row, and he started tweeting that the Emmys were rigged against
him. Should have gotten it.
Oh my God! So that is a clear a clear picture of who this man is. That he disrespected democracy, disrespected the courts. Judge Curiel couldn't sit and now he gets to put a Supreme Court justice, and now he gets to declare when elections are good or rigged or bad. I mean, this is just frightening. And we find out that not only did the Russians help, but that the Israelis were out there being consulted. And that they were asked, they had given three proposals to win over the delegates, 5,000 delegates, against Ted Cruz. I mean, this is such a sick man. This is so, and the two of them went at each other.
And Senator Ted Cruz, like, dislike, like.
Now, with that being said, we have Lion Ted Cruz. I have to be honest. These people that I'm dealing with are the worst people.
Donald, you're a sniveling coward, and leave Heidi the hell alone. Real men don't try to bully women. That's not an action of strength. That's an action of weakness. It's an action of fear. It's an action of a small and petty man.
This man is a pathological liar. He doesn't know the difference between truth and lies. He lies practically every word that comes out of his mouth. The man cannot tell the truth, but he combines it with being a narcissist.
And now they're best friends. And Donald Trump's going to go to Texas, and Donald Trump is going to have a rally for Ted Cruz.
Lion Ted Cruz, the Bible held high. Bible held. You ever see a guy lie like this guy?
I heard Cruz say this. I want to debate Donald Trump. Donald Trump is afraid to debate me. He's afraid. You know, with the hands running. Ay, ay, ay. So dramatic.
I watched Ted Cruz. His home state is not Florida. His home state is Texas. It may be Canada, but to the best of my knowledge, it's Texas.
You are all talk and no action. What I've seen up here, I mean, first of all, this guy's a choke artist and this guy's a liar.
Oh, my God. And now they're best friends. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Ted Cruz had his entire family trashed. His father was a murderer. His wife was ugly. Ted Cruz is a liar, right? Right? So now he's running against Beto O'Rourke in Texas, and Donald Trump knows that if he loses the Senate, he just might end up being removed from office. So the two of them are licking each other. It's disgusting. But here's this is the best ad I think I've seen in a long time, okay?
Somebody left something on my door the other day. It said, Ted Cruz, toughest Texas. I mean, come on. If somebody called my wife a dog and said my daddy was in on the Kennedy assassination, I wouldn't be kissing their ass. You stick a finger in their chest and give them a few choice words. Or you drag their ass out by the woodshed and kick their ass, Ted. Come on. Ted.
Political ad paid for by FTC PAC, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
And Ted Cruz knows that the only thing left for him to do at this point, because he has no principles, obviously he has no character, he has no integrity, because he is going to campaign with Donald Trump in Texas against Beto O'Rourke so that the president can cover his flank. The president can cover his large, large bunda. Right? So Ted Cruz tweets out an ad where Beto O'Rourke is talking about this murder perpetrated by a female cop, a white cop in Texas, who was still wearing her uniform, came home from work. No one knows what happened, except she ends up in an apartment that isn't hers. She thinks this is the best light that you could put it in, because this is what she is defending herself with. She thought she was at home in her apartment. Very observant police officer, right? Mm-hmm. And she thought that this man who actually lived in the apartment was an intruder, and she killed him. No one is defending her. I mean, Republicans in Texas are not defending her. The police are not defending. No one is defending her. Ted Cruz tweets this out. Beto O'Rourke tweets this out and says, every time he's given a chance, he takes the side against the cops. Now, like I said, there is no one that's defending this woman who walked into an apartment that was not hers, that was so confused after her shift. What is with these people that, are just so confused about where they are and who they're raping? The confusion about these people. They don't even know what apartment they're in. And the reason why Ted Cruz is doing this, because Beto O'Rourke is going to make perfect sense in this clip, and no one could. This thing's been up since Friday, and no one could figure out why is Ted Cruz tweeting the case for Beto O'Rourke. Turns out people in Texas have a very visceral racist reaction, or at least Trump supporters and Cruz supporters have a visceral and racist reaction to Beto O'Rourke in a black church. See?
How can it be in this day and age, in this very year, in this community, that a young man, African-American, in his own apartment, is shot and killed by a police officer? And when we all want justice and the facts and the information to make an informed decision, what is released to the public? That he had a small amount of marijuana in his kitchen. How can I be just in this country? How justice. That is not us. That can and that must change. Are you with me on this?
So Ted Cruz thinks that, you know, white Republican Texas voters will have a very negative reaction to ordinary church-going people hearing that a police officer, who no one defends, went into a man's apartment in the middle of the night and killed him for no reason, and then put out a story, oh, well, there was a small amount of marijuana in his kitchen, and that's what. I mean, it's just so sick. It's just so sick. And that's what Ted Cruz is banking on, because Beto O'Rourke is making Ted Cruz sweat. This should have been a walk for Ted Cruz, should have been an easy slide in to the Senate, and it's not so easy. It's not so easy. So you have O'Rourke, who is a damn good candidate in a race that was supposed to be a slam dunk for Republicans, and Mick Mulvaney, suggesting to the GOP donors that Cruz could lose in Texas because Ted Cruz is not likable, because Ted Cruz is a liar, because Ted Cruz is a cheat, because Ted Cruz is an opportunist. And Ted Cruz doesn't give a rat's ass about the people of Texas. Ted Cruz cares about Ted Cruz. And so this police officer is Amber Geiger. She's 30 years old. She was taken into custody Sunday because everybody wanted her arrested. And the police were showing deferential treatment to one of their own, as usual, because she walked into a guy's named Botham Jean. She walked into his apartment. I think the guy was an accountant, black accountant, minding his own, sleeping. And she walked into his apartment, and she was still in her uniform. She had just worked her shift. And she went inside Mr. Jean's apartment. She thought it was her apartment. And she fired her service weapon at Mr. Jean, and he died. Even the cops do not claim that she did anything correct here. They all agree that Mr. Jean was a victim and that he wasn't doing anything wrong. And Ted Cruz is playing the bigotry card because it's a black church. And he tweets it out with, over and over again, Congressman O'Rourke, when faced with police and law enforcement, he sides against the police. The police sided against the police. The police said that there was absolutely nothing that made this legitimate or okay or I mean, she walked into a man who was now you can't even be in your own apartment sleeping and not have Ted Cruz defend you dying at the hands of a police officer while you're asleep in your own apartment. I mean, this is a sick, sick thing. But this bigotry, this racism, this, it's overt, man. It's just out there. And no one could figure out why he tweeted it, and now we know. Now we know.
This is the Randy Rhoads Show. To speak with Randy, dial 561-270-3844. That's 561-270-3844.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about. That's why I believe if we are fortunate enough to win back the House and or the Senate, that's when civility can start again. But until then, the only thing that the Republicans seem to recognize and respect is strength. And you heard how the Republican members, led by Mitch McConnell, the president, really demeaned the confirmation process, insulted and attacked not only Dr. Ford, but women who were speaking out. You know, look, I remember Republican operatives shutting down the voting in Florida in 2000. I remember the swift voting of John Kerry. Oh. I remember the things that even the Republican Party did to John McCain in 2000. I remember what they did to me for 25 years, the falsehoods, the lies, which unfortunately people believe because the Republicans have put a lot of time, money, and effort in promoting them. So when you're dealing with an ideological party that is driven by the lust for power, that is funded by corporate interests who want a government that does its bidding, it's hard. You can be civil, but you can't overcome what they intend to do unless you win elections.
We better start buying media outlets. I mean, like now. This is crazy. This is really nuts. So the reason why I played that right there is because they're at it again. You had two controversies erupt at once today over the online voter registration system here in Florida. You had that. People were getting error messages. Something went on today with the internet in Florida. That's kind of where I am. That's exactly where I am. And something happened to us, too, and we don't know what. But people were getting error messages on the website where they were logging on to register to vote on the last day to register to vote. 11,500 people accessed the voter registration site in Florida before 1 o'clock this afternoon. And some of them were service members in far-flung places, and they were getting error messages. And so the Florida Secretary of State said, well, there were intermittent problems with the system, but they were fixed. No one will say what the problem was or how it was fixed. But people now want the voter registration deadline extended because they were unable to register today. Apparently, this has been ongoing. You have an air base in North Dakota, Grand Forks Air Base, Air Force Base. And you have these guys, 40 guys, who are from Florida, and they were trying to register, and they kept getting error messages. They actually took screenshots of them, and they said that they could not register to vote. They were watching the Saints-Redskins football game Monday night, and they tried to update their own voter registration records, and they kept getting error messages. And, the commander was saying, if the men in my unit can't register, they can't vote. A lot of them are young. This is their first time voting. Now, this system was created by Republicans in the Florida legislature. And we are famous here for razor-thin elections, as you know. Plus, the other thing we got hit with today is we have this Hurricane Michael thing that's going to slam into Panama City in the panhandle. And so we have our governor, who's on the freaking ballot as a Senate candidate against Bill Nelson, the Democrat. And he is refusing to extend voter registration for a week, even though the reports are saying that they'll be down, and they were down on the last day to register, and they'll be down because electricity is likely to go out because they're about to get plowed into by a Category 3 hurricane named Michael. So the governor said, well, maybe I'll do a one-day extension. And people are just freaked out. They said that is insufficient. That is confusing. That actually fails to protect our voting rights here in Florida. They want a week extension in the affected areas. And we had that. You know, we had Hurricane Matthew 2 years ago. And when that happened, we had a U.S. District Court judge named Mark Walker who said you must extend for 6 days the voter registration deadline because there were evacuations that were ordered. And the same thing just went on the panel. People were forced to evacuate today. And the judge wrote, no right is more precious than having a voice in our democracy. And our governor, who is on the ballot as a Republican Senate nominee, refuses to do it. So we had these two things happen today with regard to the freaking voting. I mean, really. And that's another reason why I pulled this clip of Donald Trump saying, they asked him, will you recognize the result of the election no matter who wins or loses? And he goes, I'll tell you at the time. And Hillary Clinton said, that's horrifying. And it is. Everything about them is horrifying. Cameron in Lakewood.
Hey, Randy, how you doing today?
Hey.
my podcast, everybody. Let's help out Randy, please.
If you can, there is a
if you can.
There is a problem on our website today. We're going to post this whole show after we take out the commercials for people who can't access their podcast today, so that you don't miss anything because you paid for it, and you know other people who haven't paid for it will get it also. But you know, so what? I'd rather give it than not give it. And so that will happen. But I just want you to know by tomorrow, the site will be populated. Something really horrible happened, and we lost everything. And so now we have to repopulate the website with all that data. And so it takes 24 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for the free shows, Randy.
You're
welcome. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Love you lots, by the way, and everybody there.
Thank you.
Democrats need to change their messaging big time. You cannot allow these Republicans to get away with this. What they do is they project, lie, attack, repeat. And Democrats need to take a play out of their take a cue from the GOP playbook, and they need to start changing their messaging. That is a serious problem. When they gain control, hopefully, of the House and the Senate and the governorships, the first thing they should do is fix these problems pertaining to the voters and making it more accessible for people to vote.
They do not do that.
I know. That's one of the many reasons why we're in this position.
No. The elections are controlled by the state. The maps are controlled by the state. And then if the state has a contested map and they can't agree in the state courts, then it goes to the Supreme Court. And they review the map to see if the map is constitutional or if it violates, gerrymandering rules, meaning it was gerrymandered by party, or it was gerrymandered by race, or it was gerrymandered by, lines that would provide a benefit to one party or the other. Congress doesn't do that. The only civil rights acts that Congress passes is like the Voting Rights Act, extending voting to more and more people. So Congress could say, they could suggest to the states that they restore felons, right to vote. But the states have the final say on these things. And the Supreme Court weighs in.
Well, we won some of those Supreme Court rulings, though. So I'm saying in those instances, Democrats really need to start playing the long game here. They're not doing that. It's a little frustrating that if we want to make inroads and gain control of power, that is imperative that we get rid of voting machines. Obama should have maybe made, I don't know, when he had his 2 minutes with power with the Democrats, make it a national holiday, the midterms and the presidential.
They could do. They could make a national voting holiday.
Exactly.
But they can't tell the states how to conduct their elections. I just hope you understand that is the states control their own elections. The Secretary of State of every state decides the manner in which people will select their electors for the Electoral College and will select their congressmen and senators. So
I get it, but I'm saying that there are little things that they can do. That Republicans didn't just gain control all of a sudden. This is Mitch McConnell's book.
You're looking at the wrong place. That happens in the state legislatures. That's how the Republicans did it. They went after the state governorships and the state legislatures.
Yeah, the governorships, right. In North Carolina and Michigan, yeah.
So that has nothing to do with the House of Representatives or the Senate. It has to do with voting locally. This is the whole point, is that these people vote in every single election. They vote for the freaking school board. They vote for their state legislators. They vote for their governors. They vote in off years. They vote in primaries. They vote in... They sign up to be delegates. Nothing that the U.S. House of Representatives can do to undo that.
Well, the Voting Rights Act can be enacted, but I'm saying...
We have the Voting Rights Act, but the Supreme Court gutted it. Antonin Scalia, before he died, said that racism is over. And so that if North Carolina decides that it's going to close, you know, five polling places in a black district, they don't have to go to the federal government and ask permission anymore because racism is over. That's what a Republican Supreme Court is. That's what they do.
Well,
and the way to do it different is to vote for your governor, to vote for your state legislators, vote straight Democratic ticket, take back what they took. But you got to know where to look. You're looking in the wrong place if you want, you know, voting reform.
I'm saying all of it. I'm saying
yeah,
all
but that
of it.
Doesn't happen in the House. It doesn't happen in the Senate. It happens in the states. It happens in your state legislature.
No, I realize that. I'm saying that the Democrats need to do everything they can. I realize that that's also important. But my point is that. The Democrats also need to start changing their messaging. They need to attack conservatism. They need to, just like that ad that you played with Ted Cruz. That's a phenomenal ad.
Yeah, it's great.
That's a great ad. Democrats need to abandon this ridiculous strategy that, unless this is the thing about the media that ticks me off a little bit. You know, everybody says that Joe Manchin and the Hike camps and all the Democrats in red states, they're going to commit political suicide if they vote against Kavanaugh, if they don't vote like a Republican. I don't ever hear that argument being made by these pundits or the media or these horrific Democratic strategists that Devin Nunes and Kevin McCarthy, who are in uber blue California, my state, or purple state of Maine, Susan Collins, they're going to commit political suicide if they don't start talking and voting for progressive values.
Okay, again, you don't understand that their districts are ruby red. Devin Nunes is going to easily be reelected. And what's his name? Duncan Hunter Jr., who is indicted. He's been indicted.
Yeah, I know.
His name is still on the ballot.
Yeah, I know that.
And he will win.
Well, what I'm saying is this ridiculous.
Okay, I get it. You know what? I get it. You know, listen, we'll find out because Heidi Heitkamp is from North Dakota, and that's red, and she voted no. And Joe Manchin, he voted yes as a Democrat. So we'll see. We'll see if there's any price to pay for a Democrat voting for Kavanaugh or for a Democrat not voting for Kavanaugh in a red state. We'll see. But, you know, you're always looking in the wrong place, and then you get all pissed. See, this is half of our problem, is people get pissed off at the House of Representatives because they didn't do, they didn't take over your state legislature where the voting maps are drawn. I mean, get... This really makes me angry, okay? People with very strong opinions that that don't understand. Listen, the thing that we want, health care. The thing that we want, criminal justice reform. The thing that we want, student debt restructuring, elimination of gerrymandering. You want that? You got to vote for the states. You got to vote for the state legislators. You got to vote for a Democratic governor. The governor's going to decide whether or not you get Medicaid expansion. The governor's going to decide whether you get a reform to expand access to the polling place. That's what I'm showing you. Rick Scott is our governor. He is on the ballot as a senatorial candidate, as a Republican, and will not extend the days to register, you know, because he understands that if he does, he loses. And so people have been forced to evacuate. And they can't register, and there's error messages going out on his own system, and they're not going to... See, this is a state thing. This is a state issue. That means Florida, if you don't like Rick Scott deciding that even though you had to evacuate, you can't register, and today's the deadline, then vote against him. Buy a stinking podcast.